Hey everyone, welcome to a bonus episode of Locked On Lakers. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers played probably their best game of the season, Andy. Certainly one of their most spirited on Friday in Minnesota. And they still lost, and now they're 0-5. Russell Westbrook comes off the bench. That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts, and sometimes even on weekends, Andy. Never behind a paywall, always free. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to follow the show and get a little earlier, see us make the magic happen, and so on. No Anthony Davis on Friday in Minnesota. The Lakers went out. They gave it a good effort, if not a sloppy one, but certainly tried real hard. They played arguably their best game of the season, I think. Russell Westbrook comes off the bench, plays his best game of the season, I think. And despite all that, Andy, the Lakers lost, and they are now 0-5. So moral victories maybe win the evening, but actual victories still not there for the Lakers.
No, I think when you're 0-5, it's pretty hard to find a moral victory. But they looked like the most sort of legit that they have all season. And it's interesting to see that in a night that they're missing Anthony Davis, who obviously is a massive part of what they do. Really, what did them in this game, the 22 turnovers for 25 Minnesota points. And just on a night where you are competing without Anthony Davis on the road, like you just, and you know, you're still struggling in certain respects to get your offense going. Like, to put this in perspective, the Lakers shot 31% from behind the arc, which is not great and is by far
easily the best mark. It's the first time they've been into the 30s all year long.
There, it's a reminder of just how thin their margin for error is.
Yeah.
And, you know, just what they cannot get away with at any particular point this season, much less playing without AD. But I really did think, like, I think the word I was thinking of was credible. Like, I thought they actually looked like the most, they looked most like a team in certain respects.
I think I understand kind of, I'm having like sort of normal putting my, putting my finger on the right word too, because I don't think they looked legit or credible in the sense that I thought they looked good, because you mentioned the 3-point shooting was better. I think some of the aesthetics of this game were a little better, but just a couple shots went down. Like, when you shoot 18% from the 3-point range, it has an impact on what the product looks like.
Well, it also, it screws up a lot of what you're looking to do.
Completely.
Because like, it, if you see yourself hitting no outside shots at all, eventually you start getting gun shy about taking them. You start forcing
there's no
shots
question.
Inside.
Where I was going with that, though, is the offense wasn't appreciably better. And so, like, you know, they only shot, they only put up 102 points. They only shot 41.5% in the game. And a lot of it on Friday was related to turnovers. Like, the Lakers have been a turnover prone team over the last few years, but over the course of the four games heading in, it actually, by their standards, especially, taken reasonably good care of the ball. Where they had struggled was getting to the free throw line, bottom third there, making three-pointers, obviously worst team in the league by a mile in that regard. But their two-point percentage had been credible as a team. Friday, they kind of reversed it. The turnovers went through the roof. The three-point shooting was fine. They got to the line 27 times, but their two-point shooting was terrible. So, you know, what struck me is this was a game that if they were, say, 3-1 coming in, everybody would just sort of shrug it off. Anthony Davis doesn't play. You look at the talent gap or whatever. You have LeBron James in this game, and the next four players, I think most people would draft, depending on what you think of Russell Westbrook versus, say, D'Angelo Russell, would all be Minnesota Timberwolves. And I think, to me, that speaks to what you're talking about in terms of the margin for error. The Lakers competed very hard, I thought, on Friday. You can't fault the effort. You can't fault the attempt to try to stick to the principles defensively. You can't fault Russell Westbrook's spirit, for whatever you want to say, coming off the bench and giving that a real run. Played 33 minutes, played starters minutes, but he came off the bench. Inefficient, 6 of 17, turned the ball over 5 times. It wasn't perfect, but he brought energy. He brought intensity. He did what he could. If he played like this, I think most nights in terms of getting downhill and all that kind of stuff, got to the line 10 times, fans would have fewer complaints at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, he had some really good moments throughout this game. In the first half, he had 8 straight points.
His first shift was terrible, but his second shift was as good as he's played in LA.
Right, and in the second half of the game, I thought he had a lot of nice moments. He also had some moments where, like all season, he struggled to finish. He had a couple inopportune turnovers, but, you know, get in line in this game. But, you know, he had a few sequences setting up teammates well. Actually, he and LeBron had some sequences playing well off each other, which has always been an issue ever since they made this trade that, you know, everybody, to say the least, thought fit could be a problem. It was also interesting, too. I just thought how down the stretch of the game, Darvin Ham put Russ on Rudy Gobert, even with LeBron out there as the five. Darvin Ham opted to close really small, and it allowed LeBron some breathing space defensively, allowed some better perimeter defenders out there with LeBron. Russ with an assignment that's, I mean, really easy to keep track of. Just lean hard on Rudy Gobert. Try to prevent him from getting position. Hack him if you need to. Darvin talked after the game how going small, even in a situation like this where you're going up against Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns, beyond the fact that you didn't have Anthony Davis or Thomas Bryant, this is something he might look to do anyway. He liked how that was configured. And then Russ talking after the game.
Can I pause 1 second here? Sure. It is a scathing indictment of Damian Jones. Carry on.
Well, Jones was all over the place in this
game. He was bad. He was very good.
I don't think he was great either, but I thought he had some where he was really bad and in this particular situation, unplayable down the stretch. He was wretched offensively. Defensively, yes. I thought he actually did some good things in this game.
He was okay.
But,
was fine.
But offensively, like,
the overall package for Damian Jones on Friday was not, in my opinion, not good, and a reflection of what has been not very disappointing to me play over the first 5 games of the season. And that is, I think, more than anything, why the only tall human available to them was not on the floor against Rudy Gobert and Carl Anthony.
Especially too, the way Damian Jones seemingly forgot how to catch the ball in this game. Like
he was
unplayable. I'm not sure Jones has caught a pass from LeBron this season, which is a remarkable feat, you know, from one of the best passers.
LeBron's tried. But anyway, right. They were talking. It was a lot of talk about that after the game. And Troy Brown saying that, you know, shows Darvin trust in it, and all of that may be true. It also says they have zero faith in Damian Jones.
But yeah, and again, especially playing from behind, he became unplayable.
Can't do it.
If they had been protecting a lead, it might have been different.
Maybe,
but certainly not while trying to get back into the game. Russ, after the game, you know, obviously asked about this. It's clear that he's not thrilled about it. I think it's pretty clear that he does not agree that it's necessary or that he fully buys into the logic of it.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't think it matters because, A, this is the team, this is the roster that they have. These are the things that they're trying to make work. You're a professional. You're getting handsomely compensated for your displeasure. Figure it out. But also, I don't think it matters because Russ, to his credit, did not play at all like he was bothered by this or, you know, trying to passive aggressively protest it. For the people who thought that, you know, he didn't play in the Denver game because, like, he was refusing the role, or, you know, like he went from doubtful to out. Like,
come on,
it makes no sense that he would somehow refuse to do this against Denver, but then 48 hours later play with
this whole stupid, right?
It's dumb.
It's
kind of look, Russ has had attitude issues
with
the Lakers.
It is insulting. Yeah.
It's insulting to him. It is.
Here's the thing about it, though. I think what part of this is recalibrating expectation, because, you know, I loved Russ's attempts to try to get to the basket. You know, 10 free throws is a great number. And that is reflective of aggressive play. He was still very inefficient from the floor and had a bad free throw shooting night. But 6-17 is not good. I mean,
it raises his averages from the floor this season.
It may be.
I think it actually does. Maybe.
And 1 of 4 from three-point range has his three-point percentage skyrocketing.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron was inefficient, 10 of 24. So, you know, it's part of the reason the offense was bad on Friday was because your two volume shooters were a combined 16 of 41, if I'm doing the math correctly. And so, you know, that's not good.
Combine that with Lonnie Walker, 3 of 10 from the field.
Right. You know, those are your volume shooters. You know, they got good stuff from Troy Brown, you know, hit 4 of his 6 three pointers. That's obviously a development to watch. And Austin Reeves was productive in 27 minutes and he hit a couple threes and, you know,
best game from Kendrick Nunn since probably, if not the opener all season.
Right. You know, but, you know, Reeves had a very Austin Reeves kind of game, you know, fills up the box score, does some nice stuff, plays good to, you know, they are so talent thin. And if Anthony Davis can't play, you know, they're
hopefully can play Sunday.
That's the hope. But, you know, this is a back issue. It's popped up and it's they have a talent problem when AD and LeBron are available. When you take one of those guys away and you leave it with, you know, LeBron and the rest of the group, Anthony Davis, the rest of the group, whatever it turns out to be at different points over the year, it is a very marginal roster and guys are going to try hard. I mean, we talked about this on Friday's episode. You get into asking people, like too many people, to play above their station. And even at this point, you're starting to ask Russell Westbrook, if you take one of those guys, to play above his station. Because I just don't think Russ is part capable of being a superstar guy anymore.
It's part of the reason, though, that they're looking to play him off the bench. Beyond the whole clunky fit with him and LeBron, I actually think he's going to have more opportunities to shine against at least some lesser competition. And I will say, there were times where the second unit looked like it had some really nice zip. I mean, you know, with Russ out there, if nothing else, he's better equipped to run than he would have been. Like the people calling for him to do this last season. Last season's roster would not have really have allowed Russ.
Get up the floor so fast. They went fast. You know, with Westbrook on the floor, Russ went quick. He pushed pace. He did. Bottom line, 80 though, they're on 5, and they're looking at Denver on Sunday at home. And
you know what, Brian? It's the first time I saw this from our friend Dan Wojcicki, covers the Lakers for the LA Times. First time the Lakers have opened a season 0-5 since the 2014-2015 season. You know what happened that year?
Oh, yeah. There he is. Hold that.
Happened that year.
We'll see what happens on Friday. On Sunday, lots more to cover following that game. But before we let you go, everybody, for the weekend, though, we have this that we want to tell you.
Yeah, we want to tell you about Prize Picks, which if you've not signed up yet, you are missing out on Daily Fantasy Made Easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market. Prize Picks offers more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. They offer all the superstar players as well as bench players. You can combine your predictions of whether or not they will have more or less than their Prize Picks projections, put them together, and they have projections, Prize Picks, on any sport that you watch. Seriously, any. NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football, men's college basketball, women's college basketball, soccer, WNBA, esports, NASCAR, tennis, MMA, boxing, disc golf, Euro basketball, cricket, and more. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really easy. Prize Picks is safe. They offer fast withdrawals. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up. Play daily fantasy sports. First-time users, you receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. So deposit $100, Prize Picks will match it with $100 instantly. Again, promo code Locked On for that instant match. If you're not playing Prize Picks, you don't know what you're missing.
All right. See everybody Monday.